And now for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about prayer, faith, and work. We'll do it. This message this Sunday is going to be a little bit different than most sermons. I'd like to share with you how faith and prayer and work has helped me with my life, and how faith, prayer, and hope has helped us as a church. And I hope it will help you with your life. And this is over the past 18 years. This is my 18th anniversary as your pastor. Before I begin my message this morning, I'd like to tell you how much I appreciate all of you, the members and friends of our church. It's really difficult for me to realize that I'm celebrating the 18th anniversary as your pastor. This is longer than I spent in the Air Force as a chaplain. I mean, how about that? The time has just flown by, and I am as excited about your being your pastor today as when I preached my first sermon way back in October 15th, 1988. I thank you for giving me the opportunity of becoming your pastor. And I also think of the fact that you have heard about 850 messages from me, and you're still there, and I'm still here. Can't believe that. And I'm still here, and you're still there. Thanks a million for making this the happiest time of my life. Now, what is faith? The clearest definition of faith is found in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. The entire 11th chapter explains the meaning of faith. The first verse of the chapter defines faith. I'm reading from the Living Bible, and it states, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. In other words, we know some things will happen, but we cannot see how it can happen. We keep working towards a goal or an idea, and it happens. Jesus is the greatest teacher of how to live life and have a wonderful, happy life in spite of anything that happens to us." Let's stop right here for one moment. You want purpose and meaning and guidance in making right decisions in life that will bring you happiness? Well, what I suggest is, and I've always suggest, read one page a day in the Psalms and one page a day in the Proverbs and one page a day in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, start with Matthew and begin reading all the way through John, because, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament are the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find help for the reading of the living of your life. Now back to the message of the morning. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 20th verse, "If you had faith even as small as a tiny mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, this mountain, move, and it would go far away. Nothing shall be impossible to you." This is real faith. You can do the seemingly impossible if you have faith. As many of you know, out on the front lines as a rifleman in the Army in World War II, my world came crashing down around me. Looking back, I was was really on the edge of losing my mind under the stress of facing death every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week in and week out, for about 60 days at a shot when we were on the front lines in three campaigns. And I remember the second campaign It really got excruciating for me. I got down on my knees one night in the mud, and I prayed, God, you come into my life, take over my life, living, wounded, or dying, I'm your man. And then it happened. I went into a deep sleep, and I woke up the next morning, and I had peace. God came into my life. I felt, in modern language, really cool, calm, and without stress, and without worry and confidence and with strength. I knew everything was going to be all right. And I went on for another 120 days on and ahead of the front lines after that happened. From that moment on, God has been guiding my life, and I've had the most wonderful life anyone can imagine. Why? Because I have had faith that God would lead and guide me. I didn't know how things would happen, but I knew they would turn out all right, and they did. Faith is active. I had to pray and plan and work and do it. But it happened even when I couldn't see how it could happen. That's faith. And as Jesus says, just a little faith will do it. At the age of 25, after working on my own for about 4 or 5 years, I wanted the right lady to be my wife because I was going to be a pastor. I was going to be a chaplain. I prayed about it. I went to the largest college-age Christian group that I could find, and I found Betty, and I've had a fabulous, happy marriage for 56 years. I wanted to go to seminary. I didn't have any money. I prayed and had faith, and I found 3 part-time jobs, and I was able to put myself through college and my wife through college, myself through seminary at the same time, and we even got out with a few bucks to get us into the Air Force. With only 9 student pastorates at the seminary, we wanted a student church where we could at least help somebody, you know, while we were going through the seminary. And I prayed about that. And then a total stranger walked up to me. He put his hand on my shoulder, and I'd never seen him before. I didn't. And he said, asked me if I wanted his student pastorate. Only 9 for student pastorate with 65 students. Well, it was Point Reyes Station, California. And it happened. I found out later that I had talked to him as he was cutting the grass at the seminary during the summer before, when Betty and I made a special trip up to the seminary to see if we could find a church. And we talked to him, and he was the one that put his hand on my shoulder and gave me a church. Talk about faith and God's guidance. I became an Air Force chaplain and was assigned to a base in Holland. And then one Sunday a month, I had to go down to The Hague to hold a service for the embassy and the MAG group down there and any other Americans in The Hague. And they asked me to found a church over there in The Hague. And I said, well, that'd be a good idea, because then I wouldn't have to go down there 45 miles on at the last end of each month and come back and hold a service. That would be great, you know. I thought that would be wonderful. And so we had the service at the end of the month. I said, anybody that wants to form a church, come down to the front afterwards. And I went back and started greeting people as they were leaving, and they were all leaving. And finally I got down to the front. There was only 10 people on the front row. And then one of these 10 people was a colonel, and I was a lieutenant. And this colonel looked at me and said, well, you can see, chaplain, we don't have enough people to have a church. I said, I think we better pray about it and see what God wants. And boy, a miracle happened. We prayed. And I sent a letter to the National Council of Churches in Washington, in New York City that had overseas churches all around the world, about 92 of them. I asked in a letter how I could form the church in The Hague. And at the same time my letter hit his desk, a letter hit from a man who had been a Presbyterian pastor for 25 years. And his letter said that he and his wife wanted to go to Europe and help any little church that they had over there. And he said we would pay our own way over, our own way back, and all we'd ask the church for is money for an apartment and the stipend for food. Believe it or not, that's happened. It happened. He came over. He was installed. And that church grew to 500 members. And I just finished going over there for their 50th anniversary. And it has been termed as a national treasure by the Netherlands government. And not only that, they gave him $200,000 to keep it looking good because it was a national treasure. Talk about how God works and faith in God from 10 people down on the front row and the way God works. Talk about faith and God's guidance. I became chaplain and was assigned to a base over, the next base was over in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was in the middle of the desert, 10 miles from anybody, and on the Sandia. And all my people were living on Sandia, all of the married people, all the single people left lived on the base. They had to drive, those people that were married had to drive by an army chapel with four chaplains and a big program. And then they had to drive 10 miles into the desert to get to my chapel. Well, of course, we only had 40 or 50 people out. And I said to them, and we couldn't ask anybody to come on the base. I said, how are we going to reach anybody in this kind of a situation? Let's pray about it and see what God comes up with. And you know what God came up with? The radio. And we put on a radio show. I went down to that little state, the third largest station in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I told the man what I wanted to do and how I'd train for it. He says, hey, I'll give you from 10 o'clock to 10:30 every Sunday morning for $10 a Sunday. I couldn't believe it. And then we were on the air every Sunday for 2.5 years, and we reached people all over New Mexico. We got letters from ranchers and from all kinds of people. Talk about the faith that God does and what God does when you have faith. Things happen. Boy, you just can't believe all of the things that happen. And then my next base was a hospital chaplain, largest hospital in the Air Force. I was trying to find ways to reach the people because I got 300 beds I had to go to, you know, on a basis going day to day. And I wanted to be able to reach them. Went down in the basement, found a radio station that was in the basement that went to all the beds. And still did go to all the beds. And I opened up that station and I started a 15 minutes devotional using records in the scripture, and I reached about 1,200 patients every day. Talk about the way faith works. Faith works. In Okinawa, I was assigned to a group of only 15 young people, and I could see there were lots of junior and senior high young people there, and I wanted to get to them, and I tried to figure out how to do it, and I prayed about it. And then I had faith that God would lead me. I found up island there was a retreat center up island, and I made a 3-day retreat during Christmas, the Christmas holidays, because they didn't do much up there in that time. And they had to come. The students had to come 9 weeks before they could go. So every Sunday night for 9 weeks. And they came, and I took them up there. And that group grew to 120 every Sunday night for 3 years. And we reached people all over. I mean, it was just wonderful the way God works. And during the Vietnam War over in the Nakam Phanom, Thailand. Guys were working out there in the heat of the summer, the heat of the 1200 degree heat, and loading ammunition, doing all kinds of stuff like that. And I prayed about that. And I got a bus from the motor pool and a vat of Kool-Aid and cookies from the mess hall. And then I put a chaplain on board, and I was on board every now and then. And we'd stop and give them a little break, and they'd come in and have a little Kool-Aid and some cookies. And then I had a chaplain that gave them a devotional every day. And the Lord's working wonderful ways. The Lord is working. And now we get to our church. Well, prayer and faith and work makes it happen again. I know that many of you know that our church was scheduled to be closed in 1988 by the presbytery, and they told all the people they would be closed. And I talked with the Methodist pastor 2 years later and found out there was, I didn't know there was going to be closed. Nobody told me. And the Methodist pastor said when this church closes that they'd ask the members to come and join their church. Well, anyway, I rolled up my sleeves, went to work, and we began praying, and we began having faith, and we began working. And boy, you know, the things that happened. Dial Hope every day, a different Dial Hope with a scripture, a thought for the day, and a prayer, and then an opportunity to request prayer. And we had hundreds and hundreds and thousands. In fact, over a two-year period, we had 2,000 people call in. And then I made I wrote a little book for them to help other pastors do it. And I published it, and we have 135 churches throughout 35 states in Canada that have our manual. And if they're doing it, and with a minimum number of people calling in every day, there's about 500,000 people calling in to these churches across the country from a little church like ours. And the Lord is doing wonderfully wonderful things. And, you know, it's really, really wonderful. And then, oh, my goodness, I could go on and on and on. But at any rate, God is really working in the world around us. And he's doing things for us. And he's helping us to reach people for the Lord. We reached it with Dial Hope. And then we also reached out to people in many, many ways, through our cassette ministry and all kinds of ways. It really, really was wonderful. So anyway, I just wanted to share all of these wonderful things that happened. And our church here was supposed to be closed, and we're still doing it, and we're still helping people today, and it's wonderful. And now then, I got all confused here with my sermon, but that's all right. As many of you know, we didn't have a Sunday school either. And without any members that had families with Kool-Aid children, we prayed about it, and by golly, we had a Sunday school, and we got a Sunday school. We still have a Sunday school. It's small, but we still are reaching children for our Lord. Our 46-year-old building here, these windows up here that are so beautiful. When I first came here, they had purple windows, and I had one lady come to me and say, well, every time I come to church, I never look up because they're so horrible. And they start leaking. And so I said to them, we got to do something about that. We prayed, and we had faith, and a lady came into our church that helped windows, make windows. She's a retired nun, and her sister, and they came in, and I remember her standing here and seeing this, and she said, I'll give you beautiful windows for $700 a window, and real stained glass windows and everything. And then we found out that she bought all of the, one of the men up in Los Angeles that did stained glass window, he retired, and she bought his, all of the stained glass windows she wanted, or the stained glass she wanted for 15 cents on the dollar. You know, the way the Lord works, and all of these windows, she put in all these windows. We've had a beautiful, beautiful church ever since. Oh, I tell you, I am so full of it today. And I really, really want to let you know that it's wonderful that the Lord can do so many wonderful things. And I can't believe that I'm in my 19th year now. So this Sunday starts my 19th year here. And together we've created a kind of a modern miracle here in the church. And it all happened because we prayed and we had faith and we worked at it. As Jesus said, we have moved the mountain. And that's what's going to happen in the future. In the future 10 or 15 years of this church, nobody knows. But I'll tell you what, if something's going to happen that's going to be really good for you and me and for everybody. And now, what happened to me as a person, when I turned my life over to God and began living my life following the life and teachings of Jesus, it really turned my life around, and what it did for me, it can do for anyone. And I've seen it happen to people. They've come in here, they have been really, one of the ladies called in to Dial Hope one time, and she says, I just love Dial Hope. She says, when I was so low that I had to look up to see my toes, she says, I'd just push Dial Hope, and I'd call in, and I'd turn my life around. And I'm telling you, it's just wonderful the way the Lord works, and it's still working. But what happened to me can happen to anyone who wants to turn their lives over to the Lord, and it will happen. But to make it happen, you have to do it. You have to turn your life over to God and ask Him to come into your life and then take over. And right now, in silent prayer, why not do it today? During a time of silent prayer, just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, take over my life. I'm your man or your woman or your boy or your girl. Forgive me. And help me, in Jesus' name. Amen.